in on The Drive. Congratulations on getting through 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here, Brad Fanning here, Dusty Likens here, Sean Barber hanging out. I think he just doesn't want to drive in the snow.
We can't shake him, man.
I'm getting my fix, man. You know, I look so forward to being on that Arrowhead Pride Radio pregame show.
He ain't lying.
No, I ain't lying. And since I know I'm going to be working at the stadium, I'm going to be there early. I can't get on the show. So I said, man, Friday, I got to get my Friday fix on. I got to get it all off my chest right now of what I think is going to go down tomorrow, because I'm not going to be able to talk with P. Sweeney on the pregame.
Yeah, find the Colts tomorrow when you're the uniform cop tomorrow. Find the Colts a lot.
Ricky Sigler is going to have to do that. I actually do the home team every game.
Got it.
So I keep our guys nice, so fresh, and so clean.
Okay.
Coming up at 5:30, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. We'll also catch up with Bill Moss, who is brought to you by LC's Barbecue. We'll catch up with Bill Moss coming up at 5:30. But, Dusty, let's get you the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The Hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go.
The Hit, sponsored by the Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, is now open in the Crossroads. It's the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. There's something turned over on its backside on this little slant in the snow over here by the station. I don't know what it is, but it looks crazy. Hit number one. There's a couple of good tight ends playing in Saturday night's game, or Saturday afternoon's game. Either way, we're under 24 hours from it. Travis Kelce and Ebron, both of those guys, pretty big targets for their quarterback. Who has a bigger game? And also, to get this loaded question off my chest, who has a bigger impact for their team, Ebron or Kelce?
I mean, I think it's obvious that Travis Kelce was the bigger impact. I mean, Travis Kelce was the best tight end in the NFL this season. We talked about this. I think the two big matchups in this game that will define it are, I would say, the Colts' inability to stop the Chiefs' best offensive player in Travis Kelce, the Colts' perceived inability to get pressure on the quarterback. We've seen enough Chiefs games to know if you don't hit Mahomes and you let Kelce have a good day, it is going to be a long day for your defense. This feels like a Travis Kelce 5 catches for 80 yards baseline minimum kind of day. And we've seen if that's the case and then you get him going, which opens up things for everybody else, you are not stopping this Chiefs offense.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's the deal. I mean, the Colts are the worst in the league against tight ends, defending tight ends. And one of my keys to victory earlier in the show, I talked about Eric Ebron and how dangerous he can be. The Chiefs aren't very good at it either. And Eric Ebron has 13 touchdowns, 11 of them, 20 yards or less. Who's a red zone target? I think Travis Kelce's going to have a big game, and I think Eric Ebron's going to have a nice game. But I think one of the things the Chiefs absolutely have to do to win this game is at least somewhat contain Eric Ebron.
I think while the game is close, it's not going to even be close. I think my man Kelce is going to definitely outshine Ebron. Until it's like garbage time, and then Ebron, because we got to play a little softer, we up by, 10, 12, whatever, 14 points. He gets a couple of underneath throws and catches and stuff like that. So in the stat line at the end of the game, Ebron might have more yardage. But when they talk about crunch time, when the game is still close, it's going to be Kelce that outshines him.
Two.
Hit number two, Louis Riddick. You might know who he is. He does a lot of stuff for NFL Network. Does a lot of stuff for football. He's almost the general manager of the Chiefs. He had this to say about the Chiefs' front seven going into the game Saturday.
I think it's going to be about how well can Kansas City's front seven play against Indianapolis' offensive line that right now, quite honestly, has been dominant. It's really what is the catalyst behind the success that they're having right now. Look, Chris Ballard told me this on the sideline before the game against the Texans. He told me when he got that job, Andy Reid told him, do whatever it takes to protect that quarterback and make sure he stays healthy. He's done that because you see now they're running the football and throwing the football with tremendous efficiency, and the Chiefs have struggled stopping the run. They struggled stopping the pass, and if they don't play from ahead and Patrick isn't on his game and he can kind of get up on maybe 10, 14 points so then he can turn loose Dee Ford and Justin Houston, it's going to be a tough task for them. So the key is going to be, are the Chiefs capable with their front seven of either getting pressure on Andrew Luck or slowing down that run game? Because if they can't, then it's going to be score for score for score, and then it's anybody's guess how it ends up.
He's a pretty smart man, so I won't talk anymore. Pretty accurate there.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest matchup in this game. The Colts have only given up 18 sacks so far this season. The Chiefs lead the NFL with 52 sacks. Who wins that matchup? I think the winner of that matchup wins the game.
I mean, it's funny. I've been saying a lot of the same things that Louis Riddick just said. I've been saying them all week. And I'm the villain around here. I'm the bad guy. I'm the guy that's been getting called names in Kansas City because I'm not drinking enough of Sean Barber's Red Kool-Aid. That's exactly what it is, man. You've got to be able to stop the run in this game because the Colts are going to try to do what every other team tries to do to beat the Chiefs. Run the football, keep Mahomes on the sidelines, and control the clock. And they did it last week against the Houston Texans. That's why they ran for 200 yards against the best rush defense of the NFL. That's why Marlon Mack had big enough holes that Dusty could have ran through there and got 150 against the Texans last week. That's totally the matchup. That's exactly what it is. The offensive line's been really, really good. They've been running the football, and if that's the case, it's going to be a long day for the Chiefs. I'm not saying I'm picking the Chiefs to win the game. Don't get me wrong, but I think the Colts can make it really difficult for them.
Now, Lewis Reddick is one of my brothers from another mother. He is very intellectually sound when he talks about his in-depth analysis of offensive line. He knows about the trenches. Actually, if he had got the job at the Raiders, I might be a little bit more excited about the Raiders in the near future rather than Mike Mayock. But the offensive line is young. And what do you do with young offensive linemen? You tell them to grab, hold, scratch, do whatever you got to do to keep that guy from making a tackle. If the referees decide to keep their flags in the pocket and don't call the obvious holes, the obvious offsides by my man, what do you call him, Castrano or whatever his name is.
Castellano. George Costanza, I think
he is. Yeah, Mr. Costanza, number 74. He's always jumping offsides and never gets called for it. If the referees don't call the game fair, if they don't do it, what we call it, the bird box, put the blinders on. Call it both ways. And I'm talking about pass interference. I'm talking about offsides on the offense. Call it both ways. A hold is a hold. I don't care if they do it every play. It's still a hold. Call the game fair, and the Chiefs' defensive line will dominate because they're more athletic and they're penetrators.
Three. Last and final hit brought to you by the Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, is now open in the Crossroads as the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Earlier on the show, y'all had Joe Lurie on. He had this to say about, well, what's going on outside and what it means for Saturday.
So the field is heated, so I'm not worried about snow impacting a running game or anything like that. However, with that said, it may be snowing lighter than it is now, but it may be snowing during the game itself, so that snow will melt on the field, and the field may get wet. So whether or not that's impactful for the running game and the kicking game, we'll have to see. I'm not expecting much wind out of this, so that aspect of things, unlike the blizzard, is not going to be an issue. The field is probably going to be wet, but not white.
So Sean Barber said earlier, or Sean of the Dead, or whatever his nickname is, he said that the only thing players really were concerned about is wind. Seems like Joe Lurie had some really good news. Your guys' weather seems to be okay with you tomorrow?
I got to change up a little bit. I thought the weather was going to play a little bit bigger of an impact in the game than I think it's going to be. I still think it plays a factor for the Indianapolis Colts, just given the fact that they play all their games in a climate-controlled environment, and 10 of their 17 games so far this season have been indoors. And I gave you guys a stat yesterday that teams that play their home games in a dome are 12-44 in the NFL playoffs when the weather is 32 or below. So I do not think it factors the Colts. But I was worried about the weather. I don't think it's going to be a factor tomorrow.
Yeah, if there's not going to be any wind and it's just light snow and it's not raining, I don't think it's going to be as big a factor as we think it is, for sure. I mean, Sam Munson did say from Pro Football Focus when we had him on that he thinks bad weather actually helps the underdog Colts. So we'll have to wait to see. I mean, the Colts run the football better than the Chiefs do, for sure. I mean, if the Colts start controlling this thing, you know, and they can run the football and the weather's a little bit bad and you got to have Mahomes in that offense stand on the sideline for like 15 minutes at a time while they're controlling the clock, then it could be an issue. I will be curious because and maybe, Sean, you can speak to this. Man, you get when you get wet footballs, bad weather, a little bit of wind, some snow, turnovers happen, man. Fumbles happen a little bit more often, right? So, I mean, that's you never know the way a football is going to bounce in a crazy game like this, and that does concern me. And you guys know I've been scared all week.
No concerns here again.
Of course not.
And because what I'm saying is what you said, it sounds exactly on point. Right. But what I don't agree is I think that at the end of the game, the Chiefs will have more rushing yards than the Colts. Everybody is fearful of this Colts rushing game. And I think the only reason this looks so good is because they've been so patient and so consistent and so I'm not taking risks against some of these subpar, non-explosive teams they played against in this 10 game run. But when you're playing against a team as explosive as the Chiefs, if you think you're just going to piddle, puddle, muddle the ball down the field with 3-yard runs, 4-yard passes, and consistently move the ball on these long drives, you're mistaken. You're going to have to take big shots down the field at some point to keep up with our offense. And the second they start to do that, They get behind, our offense starts running the ball, game's over. We say lock, set, match. You said 12-44, make it 12-45. Another loss for the away the Dome team playing on the road.
I want to get into this, and we got Bill Moss coming up at 5:30. I said at the beginning of the week, I thought that there were only three people in this game that had pressure on them. Eric Berry, because he had to play. I think we have the answer to that. I don't think Eric Berry is going to play. Bob Sutton and Andy Reid. I don't think there is a lot of pressure on Patrick Mahomes in this game. Not from fan pressure. I don't think that the backlash is going to be against the NFL MVP at his age who has had a remarkable season. I don't think that's where the backlash is going to be. I think Saturday is about Andy Reid. And I go back to, I was reading a story earlier today from Sam Mellinger of the Kansas City Star. And he was writing about the relationship that Clark Hunt and Andy Reid have. And he was going back to the beginning. Where if you remember, after the Chiefs fired Romeo Crennel and they did not have a head coach, the first call that Clark Hunt made to a coach was to Andy Reid. The first official visit that he made was to Andy Reid. I think that he handpicked Andy Reid to do two things. To restore some tradition back to it, because it had been lost a little bit during the Scott Pioli days. There was a disconnect to me between team, fan, player. There was a disconnect during Scott Pioli's time. And second was to get the Chiefs over the hump. Andy Reid has done the first part. It's back to Red Friday. It is normal in Kansas City when it comes to the love affair between this city and the team. The next step is winning in January. And I don't know if this fan base is happy with just winning a game on the road against Brian Hoyer. You think about this game, you think about the advantages I think this team has. Better coach, better quarterback, at home, more rest. The Chiefs are a better team than the Indianapolis Colts. To me, you hired Andy Reid to go out there and find a way to scratch and claw and win this football game on Saturday.
No, I'm with you. And Andy Reid was 3-0 when he had a first-round bye in Philly. He was really, really good. Here in Kansas City, 0-1 so far at this point. Andy Reid has not done what Clark Hunt hired him to do because, you know, coaches have gotten the Chiefs to the playoffs. They've got them to the first round. We've seen multiple team coaches do. We saw Vermeil, Herm, Marty, you know, Todd Haley. We've seen coaches do that. What Andy Reid was hired to do was to get him to the AFC title game. It's exactly what he was hired to do. He was hired to get the Lamar Hunt Trophy back in Kansas City to win an AFC title game or at the very least to host one here in Kansas City. And he hasn't done that yet. So, yeah, the pressure is on Andy Reid. He's got everything he wants. I've told you guys all week how scared I am of the Colts, and this game freaks me out a little bit. I just don't like it. I don't like anything about it, especially with the weather coming in right now. I still think the Chiefs are going to win, but I think it's going to be a lot tougher than most people think. He's got to find a way to win this football game because that's exactly what he was hired to do.
I'm not necessarily as concerned with the Lombardi Trophy this week. Like, all season, I think that the conversation has been, it's a really good season if you get to the AFC Championship game.
Not with you, but I'm saying, like, a coach like Andy Reid is brought in to get you over the hump.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at this matchup, and I'm looking at this. This is the only disappointment I think can happen this season.
I agree.
I think so far this year, it has been a great season for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mahomes has been fantastic, mm-hmm. better than you thought he was going to be. You know you got your quarterback for the next 15 years. He can be a potential Hall of Fame quarterback. I think at some point Mahomes will play in a Super Bowl. He is too talented of a quarterback. He is coupled with too good of a coach. They have too many good offensive weapons. I think eventually Mahomes plays in a Super Bowl. The only disappointing outcome is if they lose on Saturday. Not if they lose next Sunday. Not if they lose in the Super Bowl. The only disappointment is with Mahomes at home against the Colts and all the playoff demons, if you cannot find a way. I got all the respect in the world for Andy Reid. I think he has a chance to go to Canton at some point. But great coaches find a way to win this game. You had 2 weeks to prepare. You're playing the Colts, who I think you have more talent than. You got the better quarterback. You got to find a way to win on Saturday.
I agree 100% on that. You know, we talked before the season. Nobody saw this team going 12-4 and Mahomes winning the MVP with 50 touchdown passes and 5,000 yards. So I guess from that perspective, you could say the Chiefs are playing with house money at this point. Maybe you can. Maybe you can't. All I'm saying is this. We've been here before. We've got to this point before. We've lost before. Now it's time to win this game. You're right. Andy Reid was hired to win this game. And if the Chiefs get to the AFC title game and they host it here in Kansas City, mission accomplished. In year one, is Patrick Mahomes as a starter. For sure. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that 100%.
I want to play this really quickly, and we'll bring Sean Barber back in on this. Is I was listening to Indianapolis Sports Talk, and they were kind of talking about the different things. This is what I think the biggest matchup and what I think is going to define this game. I think it is the Colts offensive line against the Chiefs pass rush. This is Indianapolis Sports Talk on the Chiefs defense.
My biggest concerns on the Kansas City defense is that they do play better at home, and if they got a lead on you and they can turn those three rushers loose, I do worry about Jones inside. I'm not as worried about the edge. I mean, Smitty and Costanzo have done just a fabulous job. I mean, Nelson gets all the pub, and that's great. But those two tackles are the guys that have the tough job week after week. If you get behind in there, that place can be deafening. And those three rushers now, they have 37 and a half sacks between the three guys. They play from what? They play best from advantage. That's why there's such a differentiation in the point differential in it, you know, 18 at home, 34 on the road. That's amazing.
Sean, you and I think, are in lockstep when it comes to the Colts' dominance in the game over the Houston Texans. I thought it was really interesting when you brought up the word advantage. That's kind of how I think about the Colts. If you let them get up 10-0 and 14-0 like they did last week against Houston, that's when their offensive line becomes extremely dominant. I don't know if their offensive line is one that can handle the pass rush that the Chiefs will have if the Colts don't get off to a good lead. Because last week against Houston, they were able to neutralize J.J. Watt, able to neutralize Clowney, and just have them playing rush defense the whole time. I don't think Indy gets out to the big lead that they have, that I think it is much easier to defend Marlon Mack and much easier to penetrate that O-line.
Yeah, any team in the NFL, right, if you drop balls, if you have penalties on your offense, and if you turn the ball over, those three things will hand the other team a victory before you even snap the ball. If you're telling me in this game the Chiefs are going to have, you know, multiple turnovers and the penalty is going to be 10 to the, you know, plus 10 to the Chiefs or whatever, and the drop passes, only one team is going to drop. If you tell me they're going to come out like the Houston Texans did and drop touchdown passes, drop first downs, have, you know, how many offsides did we see giving the Colts extra opportunities in those first couple drives?
At least two, I remember.
Right, at least two. So if you go out there and are the sloppier team, then anybody can take control of a team and then make them, allow them to just go all run, safe pass, keep seven in, protect, and you play into their hand. But at the beginning of the game when it's 0-0 and they have to actually create some plays, they have to make plays against our offense having a chance to make plays, 10 out of 10 times, I'm going to say our offense, all things being equal, is going to outperform them as far as playmaking. It's going to make more big plays at a higher rate and be more efficient at scoring points. So if there's any offense on Saturday that is going to be in a run mode to try to seal the game off, I think it ends up being the Chiefs in the second half.
I mean, both you guys, though. I mean, Sean, your prediction is the Colts are going to score 27 in this game, right? And yeah, Carrington, you're about the same thing, right?
I am at Chiefs 28, Colts 24.
Yeah. Those are all late points. Those are all just like
I mean, okay, I'm just saying, but they're giving up points. We all agree that this defense is going to give up points.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
The ball game, I mean, when you're up, you know, if you're up at, you know, 17-3, if you're up 24, you know, 7, and the second half comes, you play a different style of defense. You play to
– Yeah, we saw that last year.
Yeah, we saw
in
that.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, so that's the NFL. That's football. Football is you don't let people go over the top and score when you're up by multiple scores. You make them, you know, move the ball down. You give up some stuff underneath, and then offensively you got to put some first downs together and keep you play field position. You play to protect the win, and so that scenario I see being more likely than the Colts getting to a substantial lead and trying to keep us from coming back.
I just look at this Colts roster, and we've been talking a lot about, like, the talent level on the team. And I'm kind of with you, Sean. I don't want to completely disrespect the Colts. Like, I think they're a bad football team that I don't. I think they benefited from a really nice schedule. I think they took the absolute most advantage of it. You played a weak schedule. You won all those games. You made the playoffs. I'm just not really high on their talent in this game that I look at the Colts of. We talk a lot about the advantages that the Colts have in this game, and they definitely have a couple of advantages. I don't think the Colts have played a team nearly as explosive and dynamic offensively as the Kansas City Chiefs. that whenever the Chiefs have the ball, I think the Colts are going to be at a lot of disadvantages when it comes to it. This team with Damian Williams can still run the football. Mahomes going against that Colts team doesn't get a whole lot of pressure. Kelce should have a good day given the numbers. This offense should have a lot of success against that Colts defense.
Definitely. Barring drop passes, barring, you know, like senseless, we call them stupid penalties, right? Misalignments, legal procedures, those type of things that, you know, kill a drive. Barring those type of things, the offense should just continue to matriculate the ball down the field at a high rate. So you can't – no one can predetermine how many flags and all that. So, but everything given equal, when it comes to just making the play, having the skilled players in position to make plays, we have three times the amount of playmakers, and it starts with our quarterback. When we flip it over to the other side of the ball, when they are on the field, I will take our defensive line, the athletes we have up front. If we are moving, slanting, doing stunts, their offensive line is so young and stagnant. Yeah. They stay square. They're technicians. But they're not great knee benders. They don't move well. So they stay shoulder to shoulder and create a brick wall and try to give Andrew Luck as much time as possible behind there.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because one of the things that I was looking at, one of the matchups that I'm going to keep a close eye on, is you got that right tackle in Braden Smith, that kid from Olathe, who's a rookie, played at Auburn. He's got to deal with D Ford all game. You know, and I like that matchup for the Chiefs a lot. You're telling me a fifth-year guy that's got 13 sacks this year, going up against a rookie right tackle, and maybe it was you, Sean, that told me. Anytime you see a rookie, you lick your chops, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, because he doesn't have the experience to know down by down what to expect out of a D Ford. Him and Costanzo together. I mean, Smitty and Costanzo, both of those guys. They've had some good years. I mean, some good games against some good guys. But it's always been like we see on film. You got to take a number 73, an extra tackle, and put it beside Smitty. Mm-hmm. Why are you keeping extra tackles and extra and 81 extra tight end? Why are you keeping seven guys in? If this, like the guy said from Indianapolis, if Smitty and Costanzo are so great, why aren't they getting more guys out in the routes? Why aren't you letting them guys go one on one? You know how many times I've seen the chip route? Ebron, most of his catches are caught after he chips on a defensive end. Everybody drops deep.
We got to block before he goes in.
Yeah, and then Luck hits him with a 5-yard out route or something. I mean, over and over, you see the same thing happening from this offense because they don't really have that confidence that I think the national media has built up for this. Braden Smith and Costanzo.
Let me ask you this though about Eric Ebron. Like, that's a tough matchup for the Chiefs. The Colts tight end. Who covers him?
I think either Hitchens does, or, you know, it's probably be Sorensen. It'll probably end up being Sorensen. Dirty Dan.
Is that a good matchup for you?
I mean, Ebron, he's been in the league for 4 or 5 years, maybe more than that, and this is the first – I mean, he's had a breakout year this year because he's fitting into a system that, like you said, it's a dink-and-dunk system. He's a dink-and-dunk type tight end. And in zones and stuff, around the end zone, he's a – you know, when he's ex-basketball guy, he makes – you know, makes a presence, gets himself open, and he has a quarterback that can find him in the red zone. That's what Luck does. In the red zone, he can make you pay. He can find his guys in the red zone and make you pay. But I don't see him being a consistent threat to our defense for 4 quarters.
Sean, last thing, and I'll get you out of here. I know you got to do some TV stuff here. I'm not very confident in Luck's ability to challenge the Chiefs vertically. I'm with you on the Chiefs defense in this. Well, I actually think the Chiefs defense is bad. I don't think you think their defense is bad, but I think their defense is bad. I think in this game, though, their defense can be enough. I don't think the Colts are one of the teams that can really exploit what this defense does really poorly. I think you give this defense a week to get everybody healthy, everybody on the same page. You go up against a team that I think can be a little bit one-dimensional with the quarterback. The arm strength maybe isn't what it used to be. This is maybe the most confident I've felt about this defense playing a good team in a long time.
I just think defensively, we don't really have to make a priority to guard any pass beyond 40 yards now. Like, if a guy goes beyond 40, I would say act like he's not even there. I just don't know if Andrew Luck still has the capability of throwing a deep ball anymore. I think it's just a limitation of, you know, him being a little gun shy. He's protecting against the injury he just had. He's come back. He's now got that arm working and stuff. I don't think he's willing to really reach back and let the thing fly and risk re-injuring whatever was wrong with him before he came back. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing deep routes being run just to run off coverage, just to get T.Y. underneath, just to get Ebron underneath. They got decoys. And when you take a defense like ours, if we can just play up in your face and not worry about you beating us deep, like what happened against the Seahawks, right? Those dimes that Wilson was dropping in on our guys, it was very good tight coverage.
Yeah, that was good coverage.
And those were just perfect pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are 50-yard, 45-yard bombs being.
You don't like Luck can do that.
No, he hasn't shown it. Yeah. Week in and week out, if you look at his games, he hasn't shown the capability of actually hurting you deep.
Sean, we'll get you out of here. Chiefs Colts Saturday, 3:35, NBC, tropical weather. Who you got?
Them Chiefs, baby. Hey, man, I'm going to make one last ploy, I'm crying out to the fan base. Don't be out in the parking lot drinking beers, getting intoxicated. Get inside the stadium. Let's make Arrowhead Stadium intimidating for the Colts when they come in. I want the guys who are out there 90 minutes before the game when they're stretching to feel the sea of red, feel the intensity, feel the emotion, the passion this city has to bring a divisional playoff game here to Kansas City. Don't give them any air to breathe. Take the game. We should, as a crowd and a fan base, be early, be loud, be energetic, and be smart. When the Colts have the ball, I don't care if it's first down, second down, third down, or fourth down. Be as loud as you can and make it as hard as possible for Luck to communicate his adjustments. That's all.
That's our guy, Sean Barber. Catch him tomorrow out snitching on NFL players for having their socks too red. Coming up in just a minute, from one former player to another, Billy Bob Moss will join us, telling you everything you need to know about Chiefs and Colts, and we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Keep it locked in. The playoffs are here, baby. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Set Watkins in motion. And Spencer Ware in the backfield. Pressure now on Mahomes. He's in trouble. Now gets it away. Are you kidding me? Chris Conley, his second straight game with a receiving touchdown.
Right now, it is your chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Text the word RELAX, R-E-L-A-X, RELAX, to 72881. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win $1,000 on the 30s, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour. That is your final chance for the week. I believe somebody won yesterday in the national cash contest. We tell you this all the time, man. People really win these things, and it's free for you to participate. So why don't you do it one more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing?
What?
Text the word RELAX, R-E-L-A-X, RELAX, to 72881. We head out to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Normally, he's here in good old Kansas City, but he's taking a little bit of a vacation. Billy Bob Moss joins us on The Drive. Bill. How could you be gone in January in Kansas City? You should have known they were in the playoffs, Bill.
Well, here's what happened, C-Dot. You and Fanny talked me into the preseason that you thought this was going to be a 9-17, maybe 8-18 because it's a young rookie quarterback. So I booked it.
To be fair, though, Bill, I had them making the playoffs as a wild card, and I had the Colts winning the division. So I knew that they were going to be busy in January, so don't put that evil on me.
You know what? Can I tell you something seriously from the heart?
Yeah, go
absolutely.
Since I came here in 1984, I've been waiting for this moment. Not just a home playoff game, because I've seen them before, and I never believed in those teams. I believe in this team, even with the poorest defense. I believe in 15. When you've got a guy, I played long enough to know. I covered the game long enough to know. When you've got a guy, it makes all the difference in the world when it comes to playoff time. And I'm telling you, I am so excited about this game. And I think I told you last week that we got the best matchup available for the Chiefs, personnel-wise. We've got the best matchup available of all the teams the scenarios that could have happened.
Bill, that's interesting that you say that, because Fanning kind of been on the other side about the Colts being a bad matchup for the Chiefs. Why do you look at the Colts as being a good matchup for the Chiefs?
It's their makeup as a team. So you look at their defense, right? They don't have a dominant pass rusher. Everything is kind of by scheme. They twist, they stunt, they blitz, they mix and match. They try to be deceptive. They played one of the worst schedule, easiest schedules in the league this year. One of the easiest in the league by far, just because of the division alone. I think their toughest opponent this year that they played was the Dallas Cowboys. And the matchup when they got to Houston was a young quarterback. They got a lead by 14 points, and they started just messing with his mind. They were running blitzes and stunts and twists, and the offensive line for Houston isn't that good. And they just took over the game. But I don't think this team is built to win. I don't think it's built to win on the road. And they're a dome team. They love turf. They love flying downfield. They're going to come here in the cold and the grass. If we get out to an early lead, it's going to be all Chiefs and all Chiefs big.
Talking to Bill Moss, brought to you by Elsie's Barbecue. He's in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It feels like Jackson Hole, Wyoming in Kansas City right now, Bill. We're in the middle of a winter storm warning. We're supposed to get somewhere between 3 and 8 inches of snow tonight, man. How do you expect that'll affect the game? I would think it would help the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, I think I just mentioned that. I mean, they're a dome team, right? They play on turf. Coming here playing on grass.
But they run the football pretty well too, though, Bill. I mean, that usually translates in bad weather and outdoors too, right?
Okay, hang on. So you put in a game plan this week.
Yeah.
Early in the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, with your coaching staff. And then what? You change it Friday because of storms blowing in overnight?
Yeah.
No. You put in a game plan and you stick with it. You don't go, wait a second, guys. We're going to change things up. Now we're going to just run the football and play action fake. Unless that was the original game plan, they're not changing.
Right now we're talking to Bill Moss. Bill, matchup-wise, I always like talking to you about the line of scrimmage. The big matchup in this one is Colts offensive line that certainly has gotten a lot of praise over the last couple of weeks. They have given up the fewest amount of sacks in the NFL with 18. Going up against that Chiefs pass rush, who has 52 sacks on the season, give us your thoughts and breakdown on that matchup.
So they've got a lot of young guys that have potential and could be good. They're getting a lot of hype, more hype than I think they deserve right now because of those numbers. But again, I'm going to go back and tell you, they played one of the easiest schedules in the league. Poor teams all through their division. And that's a good way to grow up as an offensive lineman. But when you've got to go, especially if we get an early lead, if you have to go against Steve Ford, Houston, Chris Jones, it could be, I'm telling you guys, it could turn nasty quick if we get out to an early lead.
Bill, I want to go back to something you were talking about with Mahomes, because I agree with you in excitement in Mahomes and that believing in 15 is the way to go in this matchup. I've been saying that first, our quarterbacks making their first starts in the last 15 games are 4-11. That, Bill, you know, at this time of the year, the playoffs normally chew up and then they really are tough on young quarterbacks. I am a little bit worried about Mahomes in this game of first time in the playoffs, and the expectation is he has to be great and this offense has to be great for them to advance in the postseason.
No, I don't believe in that. And you know this kid's makeup. This kid's makeup is not your typical first-round draft choice that comes out of college and a prima donna and thinks the world knows him every day. That's not this kid's makeup. There's nothing too big for him. In his first year, he put up numbers that only he and one other person did in the entire history of the NFL, okay? And he's just scratching the surface. There's no stage too big for him. We got to sit about him because he got a 3-interception game with 5 touchdowns. That was his worst game, okay? So, you know, there's nothing too big. There's no stage too big for this guy. You can just tell by the way he is, the way he acts, and most importantly, the way that the whole entire team, not just the offense, but the defense too, they gravitate towards him. He's the guy.
Talking to Bill Moss from Jackson Hole, Wyoming, brought to you by Elsie's Barbecue. Bill,
I'm staying at Spector's parents' house.
Are you really? Is it nice? Is it nice in there? Will you maybe lift something and bring something back, you know? Bring some... You get in there, get in the bathroom, take a couple things, bring it back. We can mess with him.
Yeah, I'll do that for you, Brad.
All right. Bill, dream a little bit, okay? Can you imagine what it would be like to have an AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium?
No, I can't, because since I've been in Kansas City, there's been nothing that came close. Nothing. And my upset to pick of the week is the Chargers. So... if everything plays out, we're sitting in a good situation to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, that gives me goosebumps, Bill. This is the game that scares me. Getting to the AFC title game in a matchup against the Chargers and the Patriots, really, I'd rather have that than the team that we're playing this week. I think maybe I'm the only guy in town that's freaked out about the Colts, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I know Mahomes and the offense is going to do their thing. I'm just curious if the defense can do their part. That's my biggest concern in this whole deal.
You know, let me just tell you this. This is my honest God truth. Luck, okay, Andrew Luck, he's a system quarterback with a big arm. Play action, he's going to run the system. He's really smart, you know, a super academically talented guy. He gets all that, and he's going to do everything the coaches say, and he's going to have his drops, and everything's going to be perfect. He's going to throw to the right spot. All that doesn't matter in the playoffs. What matters in the playoffs is what number 15 can do. And what number 15 can do, 99.9% of quarterbacks that have ever played the game could ever do. He runs, he sees the entire field, he sees what's chasing him, he knows how to throw the trajectory of the ball and how to get it to the receiver at the speed that they're running at that moment. It's not a point, throw it here, sit in the pocket, five-step drop, delivery. No, that's the difference maker.
And that is our guy, Billy Bob Moss. Bill, let's just go ahead and lock it in next week for the AFC Championship game. We will have you in studio.
I'm going to be in studio.
All right, let's lock
it. Love it, man.
That's our guy, Bill Moss. Travel safely. That is our guy, Bill Moss, who is in Wyoming. I keep saying it. The more and more we talk to people. Now, some of the people are biased. They used to play for the Chiefs. I get that. I don't like this Colts team, man. It's something about their talent I just don't like. I just don't think they're that good. Yeah. And maybe I'm crazy. Maybe on Monday I'll be the one eating crow that I don't have a whole lot of respect for this Indianapolis Colts team.
I hope I'm the one eating crow, truthfully. I want to be wrong about everything that I feel leading up to this game. I want the Chiefs to win this game. I want them to go to the AFC title game. I want to go to the Super Bowl. I want all that stuff. Again, my fear just happens. They ran the ball against the best rushing defense in the league last year, and I get it. It was in a dome. It's not snow, all that stuff. I understand it. But when you got a team that's playing with house money like the Indianapolis Colts, they're a year ahead of where they should be, and they're playing their best football right now. And I just saw a stat a little bit ago. They've held their last 11 opponents under 30 points.
Well, that makes sense because, I mean,
some of them aren't the best teams they've played. I get it.
None of those teams have a great offense they've played.
Yeah, so I'm just it spooks me a little bit. The Titans came in here and did it to the Chiefs last year. The Chiefs were better than them then. The Jacksonville Jaguars made a deep run last year. They had better coach and quarterback combinations up and down the AFC playoffs last year than the one they had. So, I mean, it happens in the playoffs. Just get me past this week and I'm good. Just get me past this game and I'm good, because this is the one that just freaks me out a little bit because I've been here too many times.
Coming up, we'll get to. Normally it's the Sunday slate. Now it's the playoff slate. Game we're looking forward to aside from Chiefs and Colts. Matchup, storyline, upset, and we'll switch it up. Instead of game prediction, we'll do Chiefs win if. We'll put a bow on this thing. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
So now at the Kansas City 47. Carr pulled it down twice, and then he goes down. Justin Houston, along with Xavier Williams.
We got one segment left as we get you ready for Chiefs and Colts. We'll do Chiefs win if coming up momentarily. But, Dusty, it's time for, normally it's the Sunday slate, but we got some games on Saturday. Let's go to the playoff slate, Dusty. What game, aside from Chiefs and Colts, are you most looking forward to this weekend?
I got to go Cowboys-Rams. I like the glam factor in this game. You're out in L.A., you got a bunch of stars. Now you throw in the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, you're talking old school. I'm kind of a history buff for the league. So I love it when I can do some throwbacks to when the Cowboys went out there to take on the Rams. Roger Staubach was the quarterback back in the day. Danny White, whatever. And you got the Cowboys in L.A. playing the Rams. The season on the line. I love that matchup. I love seeing the Dallas Cowboys playing in L.A. against the Rams. That's my game.
I'm going to go with Chargers and Patriots in this one. I think the quarterback matchup is really appealing, and it kind of has a feel like this is the year for the Los Angeles Chargers, the us against the world mentality. We don't play any home games. Phillip Rivers, at his age, maybe he doesn't have too many more shots. The Brandon Meebame story about his daughter. Like, The Chargers has got a little bit of a us against the world, underdog, nobody believes in us kind of story. I would say more than any other team in the NFL, which is odd because they won 12 games and are one of the best wild card teams we've seen in the NFL. I think the Chargers and Patriots have the chance to be a great playoff game. I'm going to go Chargers and Patriots, the game I'm most looking forward to, aside from Chiefs and Colts. Matchup. What matchup is floating your boat this weekend?
I'm curious to see, and it comes from the game that you're talking about, and that game is going to be a great one. I want to see what Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram can do to Tom Brady. I want to see what Derwin James can do, if they can neutralize that offense, because I think this is going to be a really, really good game as well. I mean, Chargers-Patriots is going to be great. If you got Joey Bosa coming from one side, Melvin Ingram coming from the other side, chasing down Tom Brady, who, as we know, is not all that mobile, and then you got Derwin James in the back end of that defense, one of the best young defenders in the NFL right now. I like that matchup. I'm curious to see what they can do against the Patriots.
I actually think the best matchup this weekend is here in Kansas City with the Colts offensive line versus the Chiefs pass rush. But I'll take it outside Kansas City. I'm really curious to see what Drew Brees does against the Philadelphia Eagles defense. The Eagles defense is playing a lot better, and Brees is a lot better at home. I think that's a chance to be a really, really fun matchup, seeing Brees in that offense at home going up against the Eagles defense. I'm gonna go with Brees against the Eagles defense as my matchup. Storyline, what storyline you looking forward to this week?
Foles magic, baby. Can he do it again? Can Nick Foles come in and save the day from an injured Carson Wentz and lead the Eagles back to the Super Bowl?
I hope.
I'm serious. Like, that to me is a fascinating storyline. A guy that was a backup here in Kansas City, almost didn't come here, wanted to retire. Andy Reid brought him back. Ends up in Philadelphia, turns himself into the Super Bowl MVP, and now he has a chance to lead the Eagles back to the NFC Championship and potentially the Super Bowl. The Nick Foles story, to me, is movie-type stuff.
I'm going to go with Sean McVay. Is Sean McVay the real deal? Right now, if you're a coach and you hung out with Sean McVay one time in college, you're getting head coaching looks. Last year in the playoffs, you didn't look so hot in your first game against the Atlanta Falcons. That was Goff's first playoff start. Every single conversation about the Rams has been Super Bowl or bust based on the moves they made this offseason. We talked about it. This either could go really great for the Rams or really bad for the Rams.
Yeah.
It went really well. You got the 2 seed. You got home field other than New Orleans. You had a great season this year. If they're going home early again, I don't know if we're looking at Sean McVay as being the genius that many people, myself included, have put on him. I'll go with what does Sean McVay do in this game is my storyline. You're upset out of the underdogs. Who you like?
I like Chargers over the Patriots. I've been saying that, and I'm with Bill Moss on this. Bill said it last segment. Billy Bob said he thinks the Chargers are going to go into New England and take care of the Patriots in the AFC title games back here in Kansas City. Chiefs Chargers for the right to go to the Super Bowl. I like that as an upset. I also like the Phillip Rivers storyline. A guy that's, you know, hadn't been close in a long time. He had his cracks earlier in his career. He's at the end of it now. And as you said, C-Dot, and you're right, man, how many more cracks is he going to have at trying to get to a Super Bowl? So that's my upset. I think the Chargers are a better football team. I know it's going to be tough in Foxborough beating the Patriots, but my upset is L.A. Chargers over the New England Patriots. And there's talk now. Well, I mean, it's not going to happen because the Chiefs are going to beat the Colts, but if the Chargers would host the AFC title game, they'd move it from the soccer stadium they're playing in.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys over the Los Angeles Rams.
Stop it.
I think the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl.
Lock me in. Was going to the Super Bowl.
Lock me in for the Cowboys going to the Super Bowl.
You're done, son.
I'm taking the Cowboys.
I thought you were a big coach quarterback guy. Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott over Drew Brees and Sean Payton. I don't know, man. Cowboys going to the Super Bowl?
I'm picking the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl. Fanning, all week you told me of how worried you are about the Indianapolis Colts.
I am.
You ain't that worried about them because you got them losing this game. Give me your score prediction, Chiefs and Colts, the divisional round.
I think it's going to be a nail-biter. I think it's going to be a lot tougher than people think. I have a ton of respect for the Colts and what they've been able to do. They're playing their best football at the right time. But I do think the Chiefs win this game 31-28. I have all the faith in the world in the Chiefs offense and Patrick Mahomes to get it done and do their part of the job. You said earlier in Carrington's hypothetical button game, if you just push one button and the Colts would score 28 points, would you take it? I will. 31-28, Kansas City Chiefs beat the Colts. and host the first ever AFC title game at Arrowhead Stadium.
I'm going to go 28-24 in this one. I do think it's going to be a little bit low scoring, maybe lower scoring than people anticipate. I don't think either team gets into the 30s. I just think the football's changed, the weather, it's the playoffs, all that kind of stuff. The game is a little bit more physical. I just think the Chiefs are a better team than the Indianapolis Colts. I think they are a more physical team. I think this is the game that Kansas City wins. I'll end on this. Chiefs win if.
I think the Chiefs win if they can get out to an early lead and they can neutralize the Colts' running game. I think they win if those two things happen.
I'm going to go with Marlon Mack has less than 20 carries. If he has more than 20 carries, that means Indianapolis is controlling tempo. Thanks so much for listening this week. Coming up after us, it is Bink at Night. It's The Drive.